In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. This was the world that Mary and Joseph knew. It was a time of census and taxes, authoritative orders and pronouncements. Ambitious men were in power, and that power was enforced by military might. Augustus, who had been pronounced by Romans as savior of the world and prince of peace, had declared the Pax Romana, the Roman peace, a time when order had been brought under the rule of the Roman Empire. For many, it was the best of times. The economy was growing, trade flourished, building projects dotted the landscape, and the elite within the empire prospered. Yet uneasiness rippled just below the surface of society. Not everyone benefited from the economic boom. Business as usual for some meant hard times for most. The census was an intrusion and marked a prelude to more oppressive taxes. Powerful rulers kept order by instilling fear in the populace, and military presence was a constant reminder of who was in charge. As Luke begins his story with the words, "In those days," one gets a sense of tired, hopeless, fearful resignation. Mary and Joseph are caught up in the events of those days. Surely it was a time of anxiety for them, having to make a dangerous journey while Mary was about to deliver her child, thinking about the changes a new child in their life would bring, and considering the social ramifications of their situation as engaged but unwed parents, and wondering what the months ahead would mean for Judea and the Jewish people. Yet dutifully, they make the 90-mile week-long journey from their home in Nazareth to Joseph's birthplace, Bethlehem. While they are there, something happens. An event intrudes on history, one that will change the fate and face of the world. A child is born, a child who is laid in a manger and wrapped in simple blankets. Yet this child's birth goes unnoticed, except for his parents. That is, until God intervenes. Through the vision and voice of an angel, God enters the story. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord." The voice of the angel proclaims a new day for all people. With the Messiah's birth comes a time characterized not by fear, but by the freedom and joy that comes with the angelic announcement, "Do not be afraid." How powerful are those words. Rather than governing by fear, God ushers in a reign by banishing fear. That is the gift of faith, to live without fear. To be free of fear is life-giving. To be free of fear is to experience peace. To be free of fear is to be open to joy. To be free of fear offers hope. To be free of fear allows us to love freely. That gift is offered to each one of us tonight. Now that's a wonderful sentiment. But in reality, how many of us really experience what God has to offer? That is, life lived without fear. In a world where violence confronts us every day through acts of terrorism, domestic abuse, and gun violence, where road rage and cyberbullying speak of an unending frustration and fear that permeates our culture, Were our leaders focused more on proving themselves right and others wrong than working together to meet the challenges that face us? Where materialism and consumerism have become a source of our happiness and security? Where all of us eventually live under the shadow of death? In such a world, fear can and does become our constant companion. How then can we possibly free ourselves from fear's grip? For me, the good news of great joy for all the people lies in the truth that the birth of Jesus, God comes to us. Faith would have me believe that God is not just some theological concept, not a scientific fact to be proven or disproven, not a master clockmaker who has created the world and set it in motion. No, the Holy One, although beyond our understanding, comes to us in the form of a child, seeking to be in relationship with us, making a home within each one of us. The simplicity of the story proclaims that no one is beyond the bounds of God's love. The vulnerability of God as a child speaks to the power of God to overcome the powers of the world. The centrality of relationship that God seeks with us and us with others conveys the timelessness of the good news for all people in all times. All of this can be summed up in a word that expresses the good news that is shared with us tonight. Emmanuel. God is with us. A year ago, on Christmas morning, as I lay on a gurney in the emergency room at Wyndham Hospital, a doctor looked down at me and said, with a cryptic smile on his face, "Merry Christmas. You're having a heart attack." As those words sunk in, I received an unexpected and most precious Christmas gift. I was enveloped in a blanket of peace that whispered to me, "Be not afraid. I am with you always." That good news of great joy has been my constant companion for the past year. And with it, I have learned to live more deeply without fear than ever before. The peace I found last Christmas Day did not come with fanfare. Silently yet persistently, it stole into my heart. As the words of the Christmas carol, "O Little Town of Bethlehem," come to mind, how silently the wondrous gift is given, so God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. In the past, those words have often sounded rather sentimental to me, but they have now taken on new meaning. Just as Jesus' actual birth came without pomp and circumstance, powerful in its simplicity and ordinariness, so Jesus comes to us, quietly, unobtrusively filling our lives when we need it most, reminding us that God is with us, that God's presence drives out fear and brings us peace. And that, my friends, is the wild and holy mystery of Christmas Eve. Jesus comes to us tonight in mean estate, as the carol goes. And with that, his story becomes our story as well. For tonight, we are part of the story, and just as the angel appeared to the startled shepherds on that night, so the angel appears to us tonight and proclaims, in words inspired by God, "Be not afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you was born this day, this night, in the city of David, a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord." So let us go and seek the newborn King. Let us, with the shepherds, gaze in wonder on the miracle that is wrought by God tonight. And may God impart to our human hearts the blessings of divine love. For Jesus the Christ is born tonight. O come, let us adore him.